We have 5-6 streams going out here. 5 are video, 1 is audio, is that correct? Podcast, man. And that service is called what? Spreaker. So you don't have to sit there and watch me. You can hear me live on your dial in your car. If you have a newer car that has all of the new bells and whistles. And now you don't only have a radio and CD player, a CD player, but you have the ability to receive podcasts live while you're driving down the road. May God bless you. You are a blessed individual if you're not in debt. We thank God for all of our friends who are listening and participating around the world. And if you cannot hear us for some reason, for we are in a remote location, another location. If you cannot hear us, please let us know. And send something to our cameramen and camera women, and they'll help you and they'll resolve the issue. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. The words of Jesus Christ: "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." If we're not living in the last days, I assure you, my beloved, we're living in something. We're living in at least days that are close to the last days. But as the days of Noah were, Jesus said, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Time was up when Noah entered into the ark. As I pointed out to you, there was nothing wrong with eating and drinking in Noah's day, marrying and giving in marriage. They were doing normal life stuff. But that's how it's going to be when, right before Jesus comes back. Some of you will go to Chick-fil-A for your last Chick-fil-A sandwich before Sunday, because you know Chick-fil-A will not be open on Sunday. Some of you Christians treat Chick-fil-A like the Israelites treated manna. They had some left over and saved over for Sunday, for the Sabbath. And some of you will go grocery shopping today. Some of you are at Walmart right now, or you're getting ready to go to Walmart, or you're driving to Walmart as I speak. If you're in Texas, if you want some good meat for Sunday, you're probably at H-E-B buying some savory meat. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with a good drink every now and then. And they were getting married. There's nothing wrong with getting married if you're going to keep your vows to God and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Normal things will be happening. Some of it, of course, on steroids. Some of us, we eat too much. Some of us drink too much. Not only wine or alcoholic beverages, but sodas. Even President Trump has mentioned he loves Diet Coke. But he said to himself he's never seen a thin Diet Coke drinker. He drinks so many. We eat too much, we drink too much, don't we? We're overdoing it. So it's abnormal. We're marrying too many people. We're getting married too many times. 3 and 4 times. 2 times is too many. This is why I tell people when I meet them, if they're interested in knowing that I'm married to my first and only wife. I have to say that today because many people have been married to, even including preachers, 2 and 3 wives. So we're overdoing it in our day and time. Some of us are normal. Some of us are abnormal. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Talking about Jesus Christ. He's talking about himself. Then shall 2 be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. 2 women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Even though this is not talking about the rapture, this is how the rapture will be. Everybody in your family, everybody in your household will not be taken in the rapture when Jesus comes back. The husband may go and the wife may have to stay, or vice versa. You may have 3 children to go up in the rapture and 3 left behind because they never trusted Christ as Savior. And they're acting like the devil. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doeth come. Allow me to repeat that in your hearing. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doeth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have mercy and grace upon us all who are here and those of us who name the name of Christ for Jesus Christ's sake, and those of us who believe in Christ. Forgive us of our sins, and we thank you for that faith and that belief in you that you've given us the ability to do and to have. And we pray for those who are lost among us. And Lord, help them to hear your gospel, open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls. Lord, we pray that as funerals are going on across this country and around the globe, that people would hear the gospel from the preacher and be saved. Lord, we pray that your holy name would be glorified, Jesus Christ would be exalted. Lord, I have no other help on earth beside you. So fill me afresh and anew with your unction, your anointing, your anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit from on high to preach your holy word once again as if, Lord, I would die right after this message. Let your will be done. Save those souls that are nearest hell. Lord, revive those who are lost. And Lord, help everybody to be prayerful, sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful, so that they will not allow the devil to gain an advantage over us today, in this meeting and beyond. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. ladies and gentlemen, John MacArthur, that's right, Denise, but you're right. By the grace of God, I want to preach in your hearing, Keeping the House Till the Lord Comes, Part 2. Keeping the House Till the Lord Comes, Part 2. And Dr. John MacArthur said, the only way to avoid spiritual loss is to be ready at all times for Christ's return. Are you ready for the Lord's return? Are you prepared for the Lord's return? Or are you like so many so-called believers, so many so-called Christians, who are playing instead of praying, and who are straying instead of obeying? Using the metaphor of a thief breaking into a house, Jesus describes his second coming as shocking, startling, and stunning, because many will not be prepared. Many will not be ready. And as I have encouraged you in the past, I want to encourage you again. Be ready Freddy and ready Betty. Always ready. Always watching. Always prayerful. Always sober-minded. Vigilant. This is how also that you can live the victorious Christian life. And be ready for not only his coming, which the first part is the rapture of the church, which is imminent. It could happen today. There are many Christian believers who believe that the longest red moon ever seen in our lifetime means that the rapture cannot be far from now. And so you can join the crowd that says, well, I don't see any evidence of the Lord coming. It may be 1,000 years from now. It may be, but it could be today. Are you ready? Jesus does not want us to resign ourselves to unpreparedness. He wants us to be ready. Ready Freddy and ready Betty. He wants us to be like the good man in his parable, who, if he had known the thief was coming, would have watched and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. And I would venture to say today, we have so many lazy, slothful people that the thief can call and said, I'm coming at 9 o'clock, and they still would go to sleep and not be ready. We have people like that today who are so lazy and so slothful and so not into watching and paying attention and focusing that the thief can call and say, I'm coming at 9 o'clock p.m. And they will sit up for a while, and at 8:30 they'll go to sleep thinking that he's not coming. It is so sad how unprepared we are today. Jesus wants us to keep the house, if you will, until his return. He wants us to stay focused. He wants us to stay on point. He wants us to be prayerful. He wants us to be sober-minded. He wants us to be vigilant. He wants us to be on guard. Why? Just look around, dear Christian friend, in Christendom today, or in the Christian community today. What's happening in the church? What's happening to the good man in the church and the good woman in the church? over half of the people who are falling into adultery and fornication and other sins and problems and failed marriages are good people, comparatively speaking. Just yesterday it was brought out, one of the biggest Christian leadership conferences in the world has lost thousands of potential viewers and participators because of the downfall of a good man. I don't know him personally, but I believe he's a good man, comparatively speaking. But we all know that we are evil people. We're sinners. But good people, people who have served Christ all of their lives, are falling into sin and disobedience, foolishness, and failure in their lives. Why? Some of us have gotten too big for our britches. We think we have built our little kingdom. We have believed, we have read and believed our own press and our own press releases. We think that we're holier than thou and better than others and above everything else, and so that we can do whatever we feel like doing. The old saints, the old folks used to say when a young man started showing out, they would sit on the porch and say, he's smelling himself now. And we got some old Christians who are like that today. The tragedy, as I gave my wife a quote this morning to write down, one of the tragedies in life is that we can smell everybody else's stink but ours. And that is so true and so unfortunate. One singing group came out with a song down you need to sweep off your own front porch before you come sweeping around mine. And we have people in the church today who are constantly pointing the finger at others when they don't realize that they got three more pointing back at them. He wants us, that is, Jesus wants us to keep guard, to be on point, to be like a good watchman, to keep watch over all that has been entrusted to us, spiritually speaking, if you will. On last week, we highlighted three houses that the Lord wants us to stand guard over. The house of our own bodies, the house of our families. How about that? Let me tell you something. Don't feel guilty about praying for your own family. That's your main job. Now, you should pray for me, and you should pray for others, but make sure you pray for your family first and foremost, and multiple times throughout the day. Your prayers can protect your children from being destroyed. Your prayers can protect your family from being destroyed. Some of you men are too loose with your wives, letting them do this and that and go here and yon. And let me tell you a little story about that. A man who had a beautiful wife, she worked with him in his business. This happened this past week. And while doing some business in New York City, she met a man who was a customer to her husband's business. And because somebody's not praying, zip, bam, boom, she found herself in the hotel room with this customer. It just so happens that they are from a certain state that if a man commits adultery or woos another man's wife and commits adultery with her, that is a crime. And it's a very high cost. This man, who is the customer, was only making like $83,000 a year, $100,000 a year. The husband took this man to court and got a judgment of over $8 million. So for this man would have to pay this husband that he committed adultery with his wife over $8 million. He'll be paying that after he's dead. The high cost of low living. Amen, somebody. But somebody is not praying. Certainly the husband was not praying. Certainly the wife was not praying. Certainly the adulterer man was not praying. Somebody is not praying. And this happens in the church house, as we know and as I have already mentioned. There are many pastors right now as I speak have girlfriends in the church, and they should resign immediately and go elsewhere, get some help, and maybe do something else in the ministry. Because if you don't remove yourself, God will move somebody. And if you're not, and if you don't move quick enough, if you don't take advantage of God's out, and God's way out of the situation, and God will do, he'll do something to you to get you out of it. He'll do something to that woman to get you out of it. You better take advantage of that. Otherwise, God will expose the whole thing, and everything comes tumbling down. So pray for your family. And if you, sir, if you get a check in your spirit about your wife and a certain brother in the church, you better talk to somebody. And the only somebody you can talk to is your wife, other than praying to God. You don't need to talk to the brother. Men are going to do what they do. They should not do it. They do need to be aware that if they succeed in doing what they're trying to do, they will suffer the consequences. But the only somebody you have authority to talk to is your wife. You need to get control of your wife. And one of the ways that you can help control that situation is pray. That's right. Your wife should not be in the corner talking to Deacon Bo Peep every Sunday and getting 2 and 3 hugs. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. Don't get mad. Get glad real quick. Somebody ought to say amen right there. On last week, we highlighted, ladies and gentlemen, 3 houses that the Lord wants us to stand guard over. The house of our own bodies. How you doing? How you doing? Are you the master, in the words of the Seinfeld characters, are you the master of your domain? One of their best episodes so many years ago. Are you keeping your temple clean, or are you defiling it with bad foods, bad drinks, and bad drugs? I know of a few people who don't take any drugs whatsoever. They have a problem with Bayer aspirin until they feel some pain. They have a problem with any kind. They have a problem with Anacin, headache medicine. They don't take anything. I know one preacher, they give him blood pressure medicine. He takes it just to get his blood pressure down, then he quits it. How you doing? How you doing on too much food? I haven't done that well over the years. How about you? But by the grace of God, I'm dealing with it. How you doing? In being the master of your domain. Thank God for the thousands of Christians who have lost thousands, yea, millions of pounds by changing their diet. Thank God for the thousands of Christians who are going vegetarian now as they have gotten older. Does not mean your children need to go vegetarian right now. Let their bones build up and their body build up like yours, and then maybe later on in life they can do that. The body, the house of our bodies, and then secondly, the house of our families, and then the Lord's house. How are we doing there? Are we attending the Lord's house? Are we faithful to the Lord and His house and doing what we're supposed to do in His house? Or are we playing instead of praying? Oftentimes, church is a form of entertainment for people nowadays, like the news. Everybody knows today that the news is more entertainment than news. And sadly, the church as an institution has fallen into that trap where people get together every week to find out what kind of, instead of praying together, to find out what kind of entertainment we can provide for the people to draw them back into the church one more time. And so, beloved, we are supposed to keep the house. How are we to keep the house of our bodies until the Lord comes? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? And not only are our bodies the temple of the Holy Spirit, but we often speak of Jesus living inside of us as well, and we do well by saying that. Because the Holy Spirit of God, if you're born again, if you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, is living on the inside of you. If you don't believe that, if you are a child of God, do something wrong, think something evil, and you will feel a pain, the pain of guilt, like you've never seen it before or felt it before. If you are a lost sinner on your way to a devil's hell, you won't feel anything. In fact, you don't feel right unless you're doing evil, unless you're committing fornication, unless you are having sex with somebody you're not married to, or getting drunk, or doing drugs. Just as you would not want to offend a guest whom you have invited into your home, you are not to want to offend the one who has been invited to reside in the house of your body, the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus, God. We offend and grieve Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God when we engage in sin of any kind. Here, particularly physical sin, using the body that God has given us, the body in which He resides, to steal, to use our hands to steal people's stuff, to cheat, to look at people's test papers and copy their words down that they write, to lie with our lying lips and lying tongues. And by the way, nothing will make you more ugly to people than a lying tongue. People will just back away from you. They'll walk away from you. You say, we got a whole lot of lying politicians in Washington. We do now, and we've always had them. And yes, people will still vote for them, but that does not mean that they will respect them. Nobody respects a liar. Nobody. Even liars don't respect liars. People who commit adultery, people who commit homosexuality, people who engage in fornication, you are defiling the body that God gave you. You are destroying the body that God gave you. Have you noticed that men and women who are married, God blesses the marriage bed, they don't come out with HIV, strains of HIV that are more powerful than the drugs. They don't come out with gonorrhea and syphilis, no matter what they do in the marriage bed. They don't get sick. It's those who are not married to the people that they're having sex with, because it is wrong in God's sight, and it is wrong, period. And you can end up dead messing around having sex, or you think you're having sex with people that you're not married to. Our bodies don't belong to us. I know you think your body belongs to you, but it does not. They belong to God. Our bodies belong to God, and to misuse our bodies is an affront to God. Amen, somebody. However, Jesus is equally or even more so concerned about our thought life. Because, believe it or not, that's beginning in your body. And where our hearts, minds, and spirits continually reside. Because the thought life will lead our physical bodies to do bad things if we are thinking in the wrong way. We keep watch over the house of our hearts and minds by submitting our thought life to Jesus Christ and to prayer and to the Word of God. You say, preacher, I'm struggling with these thoughts. All you can do is pray and read the Word of God on the subject and say no to the devil. That's called in the Bible, in the book of James, resisting the devil, that he flee from us. As a child of God, God gives you the ability to say no, I'm not going to do that. The truth of the matter is, I am tempted with beautiful, fine women every day. That's my temptation. That's my, if you will, besetting sin. That's my weight. That's the only thing I struggle with. And I have to, you know how I win the battle every day? By the grace of God. After God has taught me how to do it, you pray without ceasing. You read the Word of God. And you learn how to resist the devil by saying no. Every time the devil suggests something to your mind, you say, no, I'm not going to do that. Because that's not going to work. And that's going to be a problem. And I like being blessed. Amen, somebody. Whatever your sin is, whatever your weight is, whatever your besetting sin is, whatever your temptation is that is designed to destroy your body, destroy your soul, destroy your life, destroy your peace, destroy your marriage, destroy your family, destroy your children, you need to say no. You need to pray without ceasing. You need to read the Word of God, even quoting certain verses that you have to quote to fend against that sin, and say no to the devil, I'm not going to do that. And if God has not helped you with a healthy fear of him, then this is going to be tough for you. because I know it's not popular in our evangelical Baptist Christian circles today, but God can mess you up real bad, okay? He loves you that much that he'll mess you up. He'll mess your life flat up, okay? So you need a healthy fear of God, a healthy respect of God, because God does not play. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And I have said thousands of times, and I'll say it again, if you want to live a victorious Christian life, you need to trust in God. You need to, of course, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to trust in God. You need to love God back by choice with the kind of love that God gives. You need to fear God. Thirdly, you need to respect God. You need to reverence God. And then, and only then, will you truly obey God and be faithful to God. Those are the steps to victory, dear friend. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, we ought to cast down imaginations. And oh, we can build some imaginations with our wicked minds and hearts, can't we? And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, anything that threatens the knowledge of God in your heart and mind, you need to cast it down and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Can somebody say amen? Every day, all day, that's what you need to be doing. This is something that we must, ladies and gentlemen, not only believe, but choose to do. Yes, you do have a will. God did not make you a robot. I know we're hearing a lot about robots today, but a robot is a robot. A human being is a human being. You have a will. You can choose to do good or you can choose to do evil. It's easier with Christ in your life to choose to do good. He can give you the power to do the right thing. But you still can resist him and say, no, I'm not going to do it your way. I'll do it the devil's way and do it my way and walk in the flesh. Yes, Jesus can even help you with your nasty attitude and stop you from saying stupid things like, that's just me. You have to accept me as I am. No, we don't. No, we don't. Now, God will, but we don't have to. I said the other day and I'll say it again. All people are difficult people because we're all sinners. All people are complicated because we're all sinners. God, through Jesus Christ, has simplified things. And if you're not living the simple life, that is because you are in disobedience and rebelliousness and stubbornness against God and his will. And I said the other day that you need God in your life because God is the only somebody who can put up with your mess. Some of you people try the patience of Job. Job couldn't even handle you. By the way, our family is reading through the book of Job now. Very powerful, powerful book, as is all the Word of God. But you need God in your life because God is the only somebody who can deal with your mess and put up with your foolishness and your up and downness and your in and outness. He's the only somebody. That's why we all need God in our lives, big time. And your marriage, by the way, will not survive without God, without Jesus. It will not be what it should be. You say, I know a couple, they don't have Jesus. They've been married for 50 years. They probably sleeping in two different bedrooms. They haven't seen each other in 2 weeks. So you don't know what's going on. Without Jesus, it's just simply not going to work. And so we must choose to pray. We must choose to meditate on the Word of God. We must choose to do positive deeds. And we must choose to prepare ourselves for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will help us if we're saved. With the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Word of God. And so, beloved, when we keep watch over our bodies, our minds, and our hearts, that we might not sin against the Lord, we remain ready Freddies and ready Bettys for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. How about it today, dear friend? Are you ready? Or do you need to get ready? I would venture to say most of us need to get ready. We need to go back to the prayer closet and pray and stop playing. We need to read God's holy word and quote it throughout the day. And we need to say no to our flesh and say no to the devil and to the world. And glorify God's name. And glorify God's name, pardon me, by serving Him each and every day. When we leave here today, we're going to go and pass out some gospel tracts and witness and tell others about Jesus. And I would encourage you to do the same, because it's not only a defensive thing, but an offensive thing. We need to be on the defense, but we also need to be on the offense. Charles Tillman wrote, "Ready to speak, ready to warn, ready over souls to yearn, ready in life, ready in death, ready for His return. Ready to go, ready to stay, ready my place to fill, ready for service, lowly or great, ready to do God's will." Now, dear friend, if you're with us today and you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I strongly urge you to get ready, get ready, get ready. By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, I know how it feels to be lost, and on my way to hell, I went to church for years, was lost as Hogan's goat. I was not saved. I heard singing, I heard preaching. I saw shouting and jumping and everything else in the church, but I was lost and on my way to hell. You might be in church and lost and on your way to hell. You see shouting, you see jumping, you see singing, and you see and hear preaching, but you're not getting it, or they're not saying it. And you know deep down your soul needs to be saved from hell. And that you ought to trust Christ as your Savior so that you can be saved. I urge you to trust Him, because He is coming again and you do not want to be left behind. In order to be saved today, dear friend, first accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's eternal laws. You've broken the Ten Commandments. Not only you, but I have. Moses did, and he received the Word of God from God. Billy Graham has. The Pope has. We all have. In the church and out of the church, we have all failed God. So being a member of the church does not save you. Trusting Jesus Christ is what saves you. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have fallen short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's God. You ask, well, who's going to hell? I want to know who else is going to hell. I'm glad you asked. The Bible tells specifically people who are going to hell, and there are others as well. In Revelation 21:8, but the fearful people, too afraid to trust in Christ because they are afraid of what their family members might say, their friends might say, their co-workers might say. And the unbelieving, the so-called agnostics and atheists of the world, people who don't, they say they don't believe in God, they're going to hell. They don't believe in Jesus, they're going to hell. They call Jesus a great man, but he's not God. He's not the Christ who died for the sins of the world, was buried, and rose again. They're going to hell. And the abominable, people who commit abominable acts, people who rape women, men who rape women and then kill women, men and women who rape children, and kill children. Men and women who commit homosexuality. The Bible calls homosexuality an abomination. It is an abominable act. They're going to hell. And all murderers, the Bible says, are going to hell, to the lake of fire. All whoremongers, men and women who have sex outside of marriage, who whore around with each other, committing whoredom, whoremongers, and sorcerers, people who practice witchcraft and voodoo and sorcery, and idolaters, people who put anything or anybody before God, and all liars, the Bible says, shall have their part in the lake of, in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You don't want to burn in the lake of fire forever. I know you say, well, I don't believe that. Your unbelief does not change the fact, dear friend. If you are doing these things and you're not willing to trust Christ as Savior, you're on your way to hell. You're on your way to the lake of fire. You say, I don't believe that God's going to cast all gaze into the lake of fire, into hell. Oh, yes, he will. I don't believe that God's going to cast all prostitutes and heterosexual whoremongers into hell, into the lake of fire. Yes, he will. But it's not him casting them. You're casting yourselves because you refuse to trust Jesus Christ as Savior and obey the Word of God. Now, hell in the lake of fire is bad news. But I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that includes you. Makes no difference who you are or who you were with last night. You might be a drunkard. You might be an unbeliever. You might be a fearful person. You might be an atheist or an agnostic. You might be a prostitute. You might be a so-called they call them Johns, but I don't want to use that name. That's a biblical name. In other words, you might be a whoremonger, a man who pays for sex. And you might have done it last night. You might be just getting up from a drunken stupor, a mixture of drugs and alcohol, and having sex with people you're not married to. You don't even know their names, and you don't all... You also don't know what kind of disease you have. It does not matter who you are or who you were with just a few hours ago. God so loved the world, that includes you, that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell or the lake of fire, but have everlasting life in heaven. I cannot explain this great gift to you. It is beyond explaining. It is beyond our imaginations, what God has done for us. So just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to be saved today, that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you. Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will. And I'll be glad to lead you in what is commonly called the sinner's prayer. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if you shall confess with thy mouth, your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, and you shalt be saved. God will give you a new life. Your life is not going to be perfect. Your life is not going to be necessarily easier. I'm not going to lie to you. Living the Christian life can be tough. It can be difficult. You will suffer trouble and tribulation, but you will enter one day into the kingdom of God. I'm not going to lie to you like many preachers telling you that you're going to get a new car and you're going to get a new house and you're going to have perfect health for the rest of your life. That is not true. That is a lie. And I still want you to trust Christ as Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Join me in prayer. Follow me in prayer, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart if you're believing in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have lied before. I have dishonored my parents. I have lusted after people and things before. I have stolen things before. And Lord, that's just four of your commandments that I've broken, and I have broken many more. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my transgressions. Please forgive me of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for my sins, that he was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn away from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. Lord Jesus, for it is in your name I pray. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. So welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, beloved, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good, is my prayer. Let's all stand.